Welcome to the GBC Big Three podcast, a weekly podcast where we sit down and unpack three big questions raised from our Sunday sermon. Today, I'm your host, Jess Baker, and I'm excited to say that joining us yet again on the Big Three this week is none other than the wonderful and heavily pregnant Jordan Collins. Jordan, how are you going?
I am good.
You enjoying the hot weather?
Oh, it's really nice on my feet. Yeah. Yes.
Have you got aircon in your apartment?
No.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Well, you can come and hang out in my aircon anytime you want.
I'll come when I've got a screaming baby in 4 weeks.
That's okay. No, I do love cuddling babies. So the 2 week mark is my niche area of expertise.
Yeah, the first 2 weeks.
Anything after that, I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
So come over in the first 2 weeks. Sure. Okay. Use me for, you know, all I've got. That's great. Well, it's great to have you back on the Big Three.
Thank you.
So in a moment, we're going to be joined by Brett Robinson, who preached during our online services this past Sunday. Jordan and I will be putting the Big Three questions to him as we dive deeper into the invitation from this week's sermon. For those of you who missed it, Brett spoke about how bringing our confessions to a God of mercy as part of our series in the Book of Psalms. You can listen to that message again through our regular GBC Sermons podcast. But for now, Jordan, I'm interested in your thoughts coming out of Brett's message.
My initial thoughts were, it was actually exactly what Medwin reflected after the sermon as well on Sunday, just about how, like, when I do come to God with confessions, I usually come with, like, one of two attitudes, either pride and I feel like, oh, I'm not that bad, or shame, and I feel like I'm just, like, the absolute worst. And you know, like Brett said in his sermon, like, God doesn't want to humiliate us. He wants us to be humble. And so that's what I've been thinking about this week, how I can be more humble rather than just full of pride or shame. Or,
And you see kind of like the damage that shame or pride can cause in terms of your relationship with God. Like, I know at some of my lowest points, like, being so ashamed that I just can't possibly even approach God.
Yep.
And so, you know, confessing that to maybe a friend who's, you know, really encouraging and reassuring just breaks down that wall of, like, nothing's too big. Mm. And, you know, shame's just not a good enough reason to not come to God because he doesn't really care about.
Exactly. So what about you?
I kind of got the same kind of thing thinking about that damage of shame and how that's kind of impacted my life up until now. And same kind of stuff. All right. Well, great. I think it's time to start looking into the Big Three questions submitted through Slido this week. So, Geordie, what are the questions we have lined up for today?
Okay, the first question we have is, how do we live in the tension of falling short while also being called into a relationship with God and others? Second question is, what are the modern day failings we should be learning from? And third is, how do we foster a community where shame is removed from confession?
Yeah, awesome. I'm super excited about that last question. Yeah. I want some practical tips on how, if a friend comes to me with something, I can be judgment-free and really supportive. All right, awesome. Well, the only way we're going to be able to answer these questions is with Brett. So, Brett, welcome to the Big Three podcast.
Hi, Geordie. Hi, Jess. How are you?
Yeah, Hello. Good. Now, Brett, you sound a little bit different today because you're deep within your lounge room isolating. You just had a COVID test this morning. How was that?
That was fun.
Yeah.
First COVID test.
This is your first one. Oh, very nice.
My first one.
What did you prefer, up the nose or in the throat?
Probably the throat was more pleasant than in the nose.
Yeah, definitely. The eyes start to water with the nose. It's not heaps fun. All right. Well,
I have heard multiple stories from different people. Sometimes they're better than others. So I think my experience wasn't too bad in comparison to some of the stories that I've heard.
That's very good. Very good. So tough, Fred. preaching on this on Psalm 106 this week, what kind of was your take home or what did you learn that you didn't think you would?
Well, I find that whenever I do preach, the Holy Spirit does a bit of a work on myself in all of that preparation. And that can sometimes be the challenge of preaching, is that, you know, God does a work in your own life and then you're bringing then God's word to the congregation as well. So it was just a reminder for me about the fact that as humans we are fallen, we are broken. There is a lot of brokenness in the world, and we do fall short of the standard that God sets for us. And it was a timely reminder for me that, that you know, I'm not excluded from that, that that is something that has an impact on me as well. But that in that space, I think you guys mentioned it in your intro, that often shame or the, you know, the feeling of guilt can start to well up in those spaces when you start going, oh, actually, yeah, I'm not that great, am I? and but that's not God's intention for us. He doesn't want us to be controlled by that sense of guilt or shame, but invites us into a space where his mercy and grace flows abundantly. And so, yeah, that was my takeaway, that one, the realization that I am broken and not perfect, and two, that there isn't condemnation in that, that God actually invites me into a space of healing and growth in that space.
Yeah, that's awesome. What an awesome message that kind of sets Jesus apart from, you know, other religions and other faiths, that, you know, that it's all about him and his mercy rather than what we can achieve. So that's great. Mm. All right, absolutely. Let's get stuck into the big three questions. So Brett, question number one, Psalm 106, one of these historical psalms, talks all about the ongoing failures of the Israelites. These are poor people that we're studying throughout the Old Testament. We just see them time and time again fail and fail and fail, but seeing God's faithfulness through that. So question one from our congregation is, how do we live in the tension of falling short while also being called into relationship with God and others?
Yeah, just as I touched on just a moment ago, for me, there's this realization that yes, we have, and I have been called into a relationship with God and with others, but also that acknowledgement and realization that I have and I do fall short of living in those relationships in the way that God had intended and designed me to live. And so those two things are not necessarily mutually exclusive. I think that there is that tension there. But also, just as I mentioned just previously, you know, as whole life learners, you know, God is continuing a work within us as we participate with him in what he is doing in the world, in bringing healing and restoration. And so we're on a journey, and it's a journey of growth, healing, development. And so part of that journey and part of that tension is realizing that, you know, through the power of God, through the power of his Holy Spirit at work in our lives, that we do continue to grow and mature as people, and we do continue to grow and mature within our relationships. And so I think the tension there is a realization that whilst we recognize and acknowledge that we do fall short of those standards, is that that realization is not designed to act as some form of condemnation for us, but to help convict us and to shed light onto an area where we can grow and develop. And like I mentioned in the sermon as well, and has been touched on, is that sense of it is not designed to humiliate us in that space within our relationship with God and others, but it brings us to a place of humility where we can have a look at our own thoughts, our own behaviours, the way we treat people, the way we respond to God, all of that, and step into that space humbly and go, oh, okay, there's areas for growth for me in this space, and to realise that, and I think acknowledging that helps us to grow in those relationships. So I think that, I don't know if that answers that question for you, but that were my thoughts really. That first question that came through, what do you guys think of that?
Yeah, I think it's this intricate balance, and it does require both. You have to acknowledge as part of being a Christian that you're sinful and you've fallen short, and that's kind of the whole message. But the other half of that is God's grace and his mercy. I think it's tricky, though, keeping that balance. I know, like, little 16-year-old Jess sitting in a lounge room really upset with the way that she was living her life and how constantly she couldn't put God first and all this kind of stuff, just built a wall between me and God. And so do you have kind of any tips on how to maintain that balance or how to keep yourself in the middle?
I think it's just that constant reminder of who God is and that God is merciful, that God is gracious. And like I said, it's not so much, you know, we can step into a sense of feeling condemned when you sit and go, I am such a failure, and you can kind of start digging yourself a massive pity hole, I suppose, in that space. But so I think for me, it's a constant reminder of who God is and who He has created us, being we are created in His image. He has created us for a relationship with Him. So reminding, I guess, is a tie into identity and purpose. You know, we are children of His. We are, as I said, made in His image. So there's a sense of identity there. And that, you know, He invites us to join in with Him in bringing healing and restoration to the world. So there's a sense of purpose to our lives and that we are built for relationships. So I think just those constant reminders, as much as sometimes I think we can self-sabotage. I know I have definitely self-sabotaged in the past. And it almost... in those moments, kind of need yourself to snap out of it and go, no, actually, I am a child of God. He does love me. He has made me. He has, you know, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, these things in my life does not lead me into condemnation, but it actually convicts me. I don't want to live like that. I don't want to be that sort of person. That's not who I really want to be. That's not the identity that I want to have for my life. And so then, just constantly reminding myself that identifying with that is not to be shameful, but actually can actually be quite liberating. It can be painful, I think, when we reflect on some of the failures in our lives and some of the mistakes that we may have made and some of the ways we may have rejected God or some of the ways we may have rejected others or treated other people. It can definitely be painful, but definitely not, you know, humiliating or leading us into a place of destruction or self-loathing or shame or anything like that.
Yeah, and I suppose the crux of that is actually getting to know Jesus and actually getting to know His character and what He claims. You can get a bit like caught up in these preconceptions of, you know, Christians can be really judgy, awful people, and we'll get a bit more into that into question three, but if you spend most of your time focusing on your own inner thoughts and your own self-loathing or the shortfalls of other Christians around you who maybe haven't responded to your, you know, confessions in a loving way, then that's where you can get really stuck in that kind of area. But getting stuck into the Word and hearing what Jesus is actually saying and you know, reading these verses about His faithfulness time and time again to the Israelites is so important.
Yep.
Brett or Jess, how do you feel like that impacts relationship with other people, not our relationship with God, but our relationship with others?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think for me, probably the most obvious place to go is to think of my relationship with my kids. And so, you know, as a dad, I want my kids to grow up, one, sort of, realizing and acknowledging that they're not perfect, but then also being able to own up to mistakes that they make and to have the courage to be able to do that and to feel safe, that they feel safe to be able to do that within our family. But for me to be able to do that, I myself have to acknowledge the failures that I have as a parent. You know, I'm not a perfect parent. I have made mistakes. I do make mistakes. Unfortunately, there's no perfect manual on how to be a parent. There's guidelines and ways that we can improve, but ultimately, you know, I'm going to make mistakes as a parent, and I have made mistakes as a parent. So thinking about how that sort of impacts the relationship with my kids is one of the most powerful things that I've learned as a parent is to own up to moments when I have made mistakes to my kids, to own up to them in areas that I've let them down. And that can be hard as a parent because, you know, sometimes, you know, well, as a parent, you're in control. You kind of have to have this this sense of stability and guidance and direction, and, you know, your kids look to you for all of that. And so to kind of own up and go, ah, yeah, actually, that whole parenting thing, yeah, I kind of stuffed that up back there. I wasn't the parent that I wanted to be, or I didn't conduct myself in the way that I wanted to, or I let you down in an area. I said I'd do something and I didn't, or whatever that might have been. To kind of share that with your kids, I think, can be scary because there's that sense of maybe I'm losing a little bit of power. But one of the things I've actually identified and noticed when I've done that is that it actually has been a very powerful thing to do. Often, you know, my kids will respond quite positively to that. There'll be a sense of they appreciate the fact that as a parent that you own up to that, and that, you know, their forgiveness is very forthcoming. They're very accepting of all of that. So thinking about relationships in my own life, I think that, yeah, it can be quite powerful to step into that space. It can be, I think perhaps maybe that might be a little bit easier with kids, maybe. I'm not too sure. I'm thinking about some of our adult relationships that can be a little bit more challenging perhaps. But I don't know, have you guys experienced that in your own relationships, and how has that gone?
I can't say I've done it well, but just listening to you chat about this kind of stuff has brought up, like, I suppose as a Christian who is aware of their shortcomings and aware of their failures, potentially you're a little bit more gracious to others when they don't meet your expectations, and understanding that we're all human and we all fall short, maybe that helps a little bit with forgiveness of other people. Not that I'm good at forgiveness. And I can't think of an example where I've gone, oh, you know what? They're a human too. We all fall short of the glory of God. Let's move on. But I mean, that's a good way that we can relate to others through this.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Great. Let's get stuck into question number two.
Okay, so Brett, in your sermon, you spoke about how this was one of five of these psalms, but this one in particular had a focus on the kind of current generation and their shortcomings. So question number two is, what are the modern day failings we should be learning from?
Yeah, this is an interesting question. And I'd be interested to know what you guys think on this, and to see if you have a different approach or a different reflection on this particular question to myself. But as I was thinking about this question, I thought that it can ultimately mean many different things to many different people, and that the modern day failings are not necessarily that different to those of the past. So whilst you know, the failures that sort of manifest in our lives today might look differently and might present differently to those of the past, I think that the heart of the failure in and of itself is actually the same. What I mean by that is, say, for example, the Israelites made idols out of gold. Well, we may not necessarily walk around making idols of gold, but there may be things in our lives, or there may be people in our lives that we actually idolize. And so I think while the fundamental failure in and of itself can be the same, how it manifests and how it presents in our lives can be different. But thinking about what some of those modern day failings might be, you know, what are those that we should learn from? I just keep coming back to the greatest commandment, which is to love God and to love others, and also the prayer of, you know, your kingdom come, your will be done. And for me, I think if we take those two key elements, an underlying desire commandment for us to love God and to love others, and to have a desire to see God's kingdom come and God's will be done in our life and within our community and within our world, if we use those two things as a lens in which we have a look at our own life, I think for each of us, there'd be different areas where we can see where we have actually fallen short of that. There are areas and ways in which we've fallen short of loving God. There are areas and ways in which we've fallen short in loving others. And I dare say that, you know, even though we join in with God and participate with God in bringing healing and restoration to the world, there are times in which we also perhaps participate in that when it's convenient for us and, mm-hmm. and maybe not so much when it's not as convenient for us. And so I think using those two things as a lens, we can then analyze our own life, reflect on our own life. And I think for each of us, there'd be different areas that kind of jump out where we go, oh, yeah, actually, in this area, I've put myself first. I've been selfish in this area. And I've kind of neglected God in that space. Or there might be another place where my pride has actually stood in the way of other people, and it's actually been detrimental to them and hurtful for them. So I think, is that helpful, or is that sort of along the lines of your reflection on this particular question? What did you guys have there?
Yeah, I think that's really good. I really liked this question because I think it can be really easy to like look back at past generations, whether it's like way back to the Israelites mm-hmm. or just more recent past generations, and be able to see where they failed and what they did wrong, and to be like, we're doing so much to try turn the tables on that or mm-hmm. whatever it is. But exactly what you said, Brett, that you know, it just manifests itself in a different way, but the heart of the failure mm-hmm. is really often just the same thing. We just do it in a different way.
Yeah, and like a golden calf sitting in the middle of the town square, not that hard to miss. But we maybe are a bit more subtle with our idols nowadays, especially when it comes to things like money and whatever. I find myself going through seasons of being, you know, really concerned with my money or looking at my bank account a ridiculous amount of times that I don't really need to. And you know, other people don't know that. Other people can't see that. But that's just something that happens between, you know, me and God, and having to kind of give up control of that, or, you know. I think our biggest thing that stops us, well, my biggest thing that stops me loving others is my time. Mm. And, you know, we're talking about our, you know, church focus of leaving margin in our life for other people is, you know, I want to love people and I want to love others and care for them, but I'm just way too busy for that and I just don't have the time and space for that. And so I suppose my time and making sure my day is filled with lots of fun things and things I need to get done is another one of my idols that, you know, stops me loving others.
Totally.
Awesome.
Yeah,
okay.
That's good.
Do you have any other thoughts before we move on to question three?
No, I think that was good.
Excellent. All right, let's get stuck into question three. So I talked about before about what stood out most to me is this kind of shame and how powerful and damaging it is to our growth and our Christian walk. So we really want to know, how do we foster a community where shame is removed from confession?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. And I don't have all the answers, obviously, for this. I've got a few that I've thought of when I was reflecting on this question. And again, I'd be keen to hear some input to see if you guys came up with some as well. But I pretty much have four things that jumped out to me when I was thinking about how to respond to this question. The first one is, I think it ultimately involves vulnerability. It, as we've kind of been alluding to in this conversation, that it's actually really challenging to kind of step into a space where we might be confessing our shortcomings or our failures. And so I think just naming it and owning it and claiming that can actually be a helpful step, just to say, yeah, this is not easy. This is actually really difficult to do because of pride, because of envy, because of a whole bunch of other things, because of selfishness or whatever it might be. Because of, you know, we're scared of what the consequences might be, or we're scared of or concerned about how other people might respond to that. So, yeah, I think the first one is just that it is, it requires an element of vulnerability. And so that's the first one. The second one, I think it involves an element of self-reflection or self-realization, a willingness to sort of have a look at our own lives and to kind of analyze them, I suppose, and reflect.
Mm.
But also in that space, being aware that, okay, so while I have failings, like let's not pretend that other people don't as well, or vice versa, if we're always pointing the finger at other people, that at their failings, that we ourselves have failings as well. And so in a sense, we're kind of in this together, which can actually be, I think, a helpful realization, is that, we might all be struggling with different things, or there may be different things in our lives that that are having an impact on us right now, but at the end of the day, we are in this together. So I think those two things are helpful. And I think that kind of leads to the third thing, is to actually practice forgiveness. As I mentioned before, talking with my kids and owning up to my own failures as a parent to them, and to acknowledge moments when I may have let them down as a parent. Asking for forgiveness is such an incredibly powerful experience. And so I think practicing forgiveness, one, asking for forgiveness when we need it, and secondly, to actually extend forgiveness to others. I think that kind of helps to remove shame in that space, because when we're doing that, when we're all doing that together, there is that element of shame kind of taken out of that space, I think. I think that really helps to suppress that. And the fourth one was just this tension, and I don't know if this necessarily relates to where shame, how can we remove shame from confession? But I thought the fourth thing that came to my mind was this balance between accountability and mercy. And when we read through the psalm, one of the things that stands out is that there were consequences to the actions of the Israelites. There were moments when God got angry and punished them. But ultimately, his mercy was unrelenting. And so he was merciful to them, even though there was accountability for their actions.
Mm.
And I think working out the balance of that is really important. In conversations that I've had over the years with various people, the concept of forgiveness can sometimes, lead us to a place where we feel like if I forgive that person, then I'm accepting their behavior, or I'm giving them permission to do it again, or I'm not putting in place any boundaries so that if it's a particular kind of behavior, that behavior is being discouraged moving to the future, if that makes sense. And so I think there's a real tension there of accountability and mercy. And I don't think that that's necessarily an easy space to walk into, but I think that it's important for us to acknowledge as a community and as people, so that, if somebody does something that, really destroys the trust of somebody else, forgiveness doesn't mean that you naturally just restore that trust. Trust is something that is built up over time. And so I think as a community, it's helpful for us to kind of walk in that space and go, okay, look, you've conducted yourself in a way that has broken trust. There's forgiveness in that space for you, but there's also boundaries or consequences to the actions. That's not necessarily to bring shame on you, but it's there in place to provide protection for you and for those people around you who you may have hurt in that space. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that were the four things. It takes vulnerability, a self-realization that I made mistakes, so does everybody else. A willingness or a willingness to practice forgiveness, but also to identify and to walk in the space that whilst we can offer forgiveness, grace, mercy and compassion, there's also accountability to actions as well. That doesn't necessarily mean we're putting shame on others, but they're there for protection for other people.
No, I love that. That's great. I think I want to go back to that point about, you know, we're in this together and yes, I have shortcomings, but so do other people. I think that's a huge point in Christian communities where this shame can build up because our culture is more so to show how put together we are and how great we are. We come to church with our hair done, our, you know, makeup on and whatever it is, and we just pretend everything's fine and everything's good. I know a huge calling on my life. I don't know if you guys have picked up on this listening to the podcast, but I have no filter. And so I think God has really put that on me to share my shortcomings, maybe a little bit more openly than other people would. So that people know that other people suck too. You know, like I think points in my life that I've become so isolated thinking that I'm the only one struggling with these sins or these temptations or whatever it is. And so that's kind of been my mission a little bit to, especially as a youth leader, be really open about my struggles and how God has helped me through that or how he's still helping me through that and I'm still not 100% or whatever that is. But I think a way to change our culture is by breaking down those barriers and those masks that we all put on when we come to church. And maybe, I know it's scary, but maybe being a little bit more vulnerable about what we're actually struggling with.
Yeah.
And I think it's one of those spaces where it doesn't necessarily happen and like overnight, but baby steps in that space. If we, you know, we're all kind of like wading out into the water a little bit and then, but if we're all kind of wading out into the water, we get deeper and deeper and deeper and there's that culture then that's built up of feeling safe to be able to share those experiences or failures that you feel you have. It just takes time to sort of create that environment where people can feel safe.
I think as well, something that, like you said, Jess, church definitely feels like a place where you walk in and everyone has it all together and everyone else is doing really great and don't sin and everything. But something that like Mark has been talking about for the last few years is how, you know, Jesus to his disciples didn't have any kind of pre-qualifications for them. The first thing he said to them was follow me. And the point was they got on board and started spending time with him and hanging out in that, in that group and in the community, following Jesus before they had anything together.
Yeah.
They never really got it together.
In fact, it took them 3 years to figure it out.
Still didn't quite get there. And I think that is kind of the community we need to be fostering, this idea that you don't have to have it all together. We're all just trying to work it out. And, before putting those expectations on people when we're just all hiding our own kind of things that we've got going on.
And there's the point where the rubber hits the road and you have to make that decision. I think Mark calls it like the crisis of faith, where you're following God, and then you think, actually, the way I'm living isn't quite up to what he's asking of me. I think that kind of gentle nudging or conviction from friends would come from like a life group setting, not so much from someone sitting across the pew from you being like, "Oh, I don't like the way you do that." But kind of getting yourself in a position where you have those strong relationships with people, like in a life group or whatever, that, you know, you feel comfortable to share with them, they feel comfortable to share with you and grow in that space.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think one of the payoffs in that space is over time, right, we then get to reflect on our own life and to see, you know, where we were and how God has been at work in our lives and where we are now. And knowing that, okay, I'm not a finished product yet, God is still at work in my life, but I can kind of celebrate looking back and going, God has brought me from there to here.
Mm.
And I'm so grateful for that. And so that kind of then pushes us on into the future as well and spurs us on. Yeah, and that was just something that came to mind when I was listening to you guys talk about that, is that that's one of the benefits, is that we do grow, we do develop, we do mature in our faith and as a person over time in that space.
Mm. Well, that's awesome. Thanks, Brett. I really enjoyed our discussion today. I think it's been really fruitful. So thanks so much, even through your sickness from home, that you've come on board and had a chat to us today about unpacking the sermon.
Thank you for having me. It's great. I'm glad I've been able to bring my radio voice today.
Yeah.
deep, husky.
It's been great. All right. Thanks, Brett.
No worries.
So, Geordie, any kind of thoughts coming out of that chat?
Mm. Yeah, I really like that last question, especially, you know, church is renowned for being a judgmental place. Mm. And so, yeah, if we moved it to a community where people were more open about what they're struggling with, or weren't scared to come forward with what you know, with what they are dealing with, that would be, it's what the church should be, and it's really cool. But I think you're right, life groups, it's actually something I've spoken to a bunch of people about this week, that I actually am really missing that in my life, that kind of small group where you get together and be real and talk about these things, because you don't do it in any other setting.
And, and the challenge is to actually be real in those spaces. Yes. Our life group starts up this week. We've got one of those new young adult life groups, and so I don't want to go in all guns blazing, so I may scare some people. But just kind of setting the tone of, this is like a place where we're honest and not just like, everything's fine, my life is fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really important. They're kind of like prerequisites before you even walk into the church.
Yeah.
Are ridiculous, because that's just not what Jesus was about.
Yeah.
And that's something we've created, isn't it? That's something we've done.
Yeah.
All right, well, awesome. Thanks so much for joining us this week, Geordie. It was great to have you.
Thanks for having me back.
You're not heavily pregnant for too much longer, and we'll be cuddling another little ACE 2.0 soon enough. Very excited for that.
Yeah.
But it was great to have you on today.
Thanks so much.
No problem. So if you guys want to be a part of the conversation, make sure you're there at one of our services on Sunday and you snap the Slido QR code before the sermon to get involved. If you've enjoyed the Big Three podcast today, take the time to give us a star rating and be sure to subscribe to stay up to date with all future episodes. Thanks for joining us for this week's Big Three and our deep dive into God's invitation for us all. Remember, there's no thought too small, no question too big.